If I were to ask you today, how strong is your faith? What would you tell me? I know that many people would probably sit back and say, well, you know, a lot of that depends on the situation. You know, if everything is right with the world and everything is going okay, then oftentimes we would probably sit back and say, well, you know, I feel like my faith is pretty good. I feel like it's pretty strong. When our faith gets tested is when we get put in circumstances and situations, particularly those that are outside of our control. When we find ourselves in a circumstance of desperation. And that's exactly what we're going to look at today as we look at yet another miracle of the Messiah that's going to be coming out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. Grab your Bible, come on back. I'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible Study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I want to thank you for taking the time to be able to gather around God's Word with us today. As I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. You know, ask as we led into our Bible study, you know, if you had to kind of measure your faith at this particular moment in your life, where would it be? And I've said, as long as things are going good, then most of us would say, yeah, my faith's pretty good. But it's when we start to get in those times where there are trials or where there are testings, and particularly when things are outside of our control, that's when all of a sudden our faith winds up being tested. Now, I want us to look at some things that we can glean from today's passage out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. We're going to begin reading with verse 27. Would you read along with me? It says, "When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, 'Son of David, have mercy on us.' And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' They said to him, 'Yes, Lord.' Then he touched their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith, let it be to you.' And their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, 'See that no one knows it.' But when they had departed, they spread the news about him all over the country." Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you now, again, we want to thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that is our interpreter. Today, Father, as we take a look at your word, I pray that that we will look at the different aspects of what you can teach us today to be able to walk closer to you, to be able to strengthen our faith, and that we might be able to walk with you in a manner that is pleasing in your sight. Lord, today we just simply ask that your Spirit would speak freely to our hearts and that we would give attention to it. Lord, as always, I ask that you might use me as your messenger. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I pray that the words that truly are heard today would come from you and rather than just simply mere man. So, Father, bless the few moments that we'll spend today around your word, and we'll praise you for it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Probably not an unfamiliar passage to you as we look at it today, but we want to get a little bit of background about our passage. In this passage, Jesus is actually in the midst of his Galilean ministry, okay? He has been out. He has been performing numerous miracles. People have been watching that. They have been seeing what's been taking place. Jesus' reputation as a healer and a teacher has spread like wildfire, you know, near and far, you know, here and there. As old boy says, north, south, east, and west. So there are people who have a lot of curiosity about this Jesus and about what it is that he's doing and what it is that he can do. Now, it's during this particular phase of his ministry that two blind men approach Jesus. Now, there's a couple things that we need to understand. There were two real reasons why these blind men approached Jesus. One of those is very obvious, because they were blind. I mean, you have to remember, we're talking about back in the days before there were optometrists and eye surgeries and medical advances to what we have today. I don't know why they were blind, don't know how long they had been blind, but just simply know that they're blind. And the bottom line is, a blind man, it was very difficult, if not impossible, for them to be able to go out and work to support their family. So essentially, they were somewhat in the care of other people. So that's one of the things that we see about these men. They were driven to Jesus out of desperation. Now, that may put up a red flag in your life. Maybe today you're seeking Jesus because you're desperate. There is nothing that you can do to change your own situation. Not that you haven't tried. Most of us, that's what we normally do. We will try to solve or rectify our situation as best we can before turning to Jesus. You know, then we will turn to him in our desperation. Now, here were two blind men who one of the reasons that they turned to Jesus was out of desperation. There was nothing that they could do to fix their problem. In fact, there probably wasn't anything anybody else other than Jesus could do to change their situation. So that was reason number one why they were seeking Jesus. They were desperate. A second reason why they were seeking Jesus was out of faith. Now, I've given this to you a lot throughout our times of going through the miracles of the Messiah, and I don't think that I can ever give it to you too much. And what that is that's the definition of faith. The technical definition of faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I always like to simplify that and say it's simply believing in something even when you can't see it, knowing and trusting and having faith particularly in this case, that Jesus is able to do what it is that they want to ask him to do. They're seeking Jesus, and they're doing so out of cries of knowing. Yeah, their approach to Jesus was one that said, I know he can do this. You know, because as they were seeking Jesus, their cry acknowledges him as, what does the word say? Son of David. And Son of David was a messianic title, okay? So they knew who he was. They knew what they had heard. I mean, could you imagine being in their situation? They've been blind for however long. Yeah, I like what I heard somebody say one time in a Bible study. He said, you know what? I don't care how long it was. If I'm blind, whether it's been all my life, a few years, a few months, a few weeks, or 10 minutes, I want to get that problem taken care of. So, you know, they had heard about Jesus being the great teacher. They had heard about him being the great healer. Notice that. And their thing was, I'm desperate. I am going to get to Jesus. And I believe that Jesus can do this if we can only get an audience with him. Okay? So the event in our text begins with two blind men persistently following Jesus. Yeah, I like how when you read that, you got to realize these guys, they didn't just go away. They didn't let Jesus just pass by. They are persistently following him. Now, I could actually take this particular passage right here and go in a completely different direction and ask you, how persistent are you in your following of Jesus? You know, sometimes we get a little bit lax in that when things seem to be going well in life, and it's only when crisis hits that we all of a sudden we start to turn and run to Jesus. Now, I don't want you to feel bad about that. Obviously, Jesus wants you to come to him with all of your circumstances and all of your situations. So don't feel bad about that. But you know, wouldn't it be nice if we were keeping steady company with Jesus when times are good as well as when times are bad? Think about that for just a moment. So these guys, these two blind guys, have been persistently following Jesus. You know, this is a testament to their unwavering hope and belief in his ability to heal them. In other words, it's like, look, I'm not just going to go away. Even if somebody shoos me off, it's not going to be that easy to get rid of me because I've got a need and I want to be able to get into the presence of Jesus because here, number one, I believe he can heal my blindness. That was probably the most desperate situation they had. And they said, I believe. I've heard what people have said. Maybe these guys have even witnessed some of the things that Jesus has done. You know, they didn't see it, obviously, but they've heard what's going on. They know the reputation that Jesus has that is gaining so much traction in their lives. And they're like, hey, listen, we got to get to Jesus. Now, remember, they cried out to him, Son of David, have mercy on us. Now, this signifies not only their need for physical healing, but also their recognition of Jesus' messianic authority. You know, Jesus, I love this about Jesus. And all these miracles we've talked about, all these things of us hearing and reading about where Jesus has gone and he's healed the blind, he's raised the dead back to life. You're hearing all of these things that he's doing. But have you ever noticed that Jesus took care of not only the physical situations that people had, but he also took care of the thing that's most important, the spiritual side of things. You know, the word tells us, he said, you know, what good does it do a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? You know, our spiritual condition is far more important than even what our physical condition is. That is something that we need to understand and realize. You know, even when we are healthy, listen, if you are and God has blessed you and, you know, you have all your limbs working and you can see and you can hear and you can go about life, God has blessed you. That's something to thank Him for each and every day. But when you look at it from, you know, the other side of the coin, well, what if you weren't in that particular position? But yet there was faith. These men had faith that Jesus could not only heal them physically, but that He could heal them spiritually. Now, upon entering the house, Jesus poses a very, very critical question to these men. Now, I want you to put yourself in their place for just a moment. You know, you've gone along, you know, you've been following Jesus, you've been persistent, and all of a sudden you're needing His help and you're crying out to Him. As you go into the house, Jesus approaches these men and He asks that question: do you believe that I am able to do this? You know, a lot of people would sit back and say, well, that's a trick question. How in the world would you answer that sort of a situation? Now, I think that there's something that eludes even more to the faith. Jesus was really asking them, do you believe I can do this? Do you have faith that I am able to heal your situation, to heal your blindness, to heal your sinfulness? Do you believe I can do this? Now, Jesus waits on an answer, you know, and they give Jesus an affirming answer by saying, yes, Lord. And when they said, yes, Lord, that reveals their faith. Remember what faith is: substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Believing that being in the presence of Jesus, that what can happen is that they can walk away and go home and being able to see the road, being able to see their family members, being able to actually be productive for their families, get a job, go to work, do all these things. They were truly believing that when they came into the presence of Jesus by the way they answered Him. When Jesus said, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord, you know, we do. And this was a very, very pivotal moment in their healing. Now, the word tells us that Jesus responds by touching their eyes and uttering, okay? He utters this. He says, according to your faith, let it be to you. Now, this underscores the power of faith in the divine healing process. Now, I want you to think about that statement for just a moment. You know, Jesus asked them a question: do you believe I can do this? And they said, well, yeah, we do. Now, sometimes our words don't match exactly what we're thinking. You know, sometimes our words would say, oh, yeah, I believe that. But our mind's saying, really? I mean, how many people get healed of blindness? This is kind of like a permanent thing. You know, this would be something pretty special if it happened. And sometimes we struggle in our minds with that. But I want you to notice something. Notice something in Jesus' answer to them. Jesus said this. He didn't just simply say, regain your sight, or, you know, be made whole, or you are well, or any of the other things that we read about in some of these other miracles. Notice His answer. He said, according to your faith, let it be to you. In other words, Jesus is saying, you know what, I'm going to provide healing to you based on the level of faith in which you have that I can do this, that I can divinely heal you. Let me give you another example. There's another scripture. It's an Old Testament scripture. If you will remember, there was a mother who had two sons. Apparently, the husband was not in the picture. Apparently, he had died. And what had happened was that she owed a lot to the creditors, and the creditors were about ready to come and take her children as indentured servants until the debt could be paid. So what she does is she goes to the prophet and explains her case and says, you know, I don't have anything. They're coming to take my kids. And the prophet says to her, what do you have? And if you remember, she said, I have nothing except a little jar of oil. Okay. Now, what happened with that was he said, I tell you what, the Lord says to go out and gather vessels, not just a few, as many vessels as you can. And then go in and lock yourself into the room, and you take that little jar of oil that you said that you had, and you begin to dump it into the other vessels, plural, meaning more than one. You know, if I come up in here with a big old pot and I have this much oil, I'm sitting there going, well, how far is this going to go? But it says, according to the scripture, that as this woman began to pour the oil into the pots, that the pots filled, when the pot filled up, she called her son. She had them in there with her, said, bring me another pot. And she still had that little jar of oil. And she filled the next pot, and the next, and the next, and the next, until she got down to the last one. And this is where it ties in with our scripture today and our thoughts for today. When she got to that last one and she poured it full, she said, bring me another vessel. And her boy said, there are no more vessels. And then the word says, it was at that point that the oil dried up. Now, I've asked this question when I preached that particular passage many times. I said, do you believe if that woman would have had another pot, there would have been another vessel of oil? And undoubtedly, most people say, well, yeah, I do believe that. And you know, in other words, the level of the miracle that she got was also based on her level of faith and her following the instructions. He said, the prophet said, go get pots, not just a few, get many of them. Yeah, I believe if she would have had 100 more pots, she would have had 100 more pots of oil. But then it was enough, because at the end, what essentially the prophet said was this. Said, go out and sell the oil and you pay off your creditors and live on what is left. So obviously there was a pretty good amount of oil there to start with. But now let's go back to our passage for today. Notice what it was that Jesus said to these two blind men. He said, according to your faith, let it be to you. How strong is your faith? When you are going to the Lord in prayer, and listen, I know your situation may be huge. It may seem like it's gigantic. It may be completely out of your control. But the Lord poses the same question to you that he poses to these two blind men. He said, do you believe that I am able to accomplish what you want me to accomplish? And they said, yes, we believe. And what if you were going in prayer to the Lord and you're praying for something specific, and then the Lord answers you with the same way he answered these two blind men and says, according to your faith, let it be to you. How would you do? Would you sit back going and go, I don't know exactly how this is going to turn out because my faith is a little shaky? You know what, the folks, listen, it's okay to admit that there's times in your life that your faith gets a little bit shaky. That happens to all of us. But yet we still need to understand the power of the Lord. And when he comes to us and when we go to him saying, Lord, I'm asking you to intervene in this situation, whether it's health, whether it's finances, whatever it may be. You know, the Lord's going to ask you, do you believe I can? Do you believe this is something that I can do? Do you believe? And then what if he said to you, just like he said to these men, according to your faith, let it be to you. Now for them, these two men, it underscored the power of faith in the divine healing process. Despite Jesus' instructions to keep this miracle confidential, the men, overwhelmed with gratitude and joy, began to share their miraculous experience throughout the region. You know what? If I was blind and Jesus had touched me and made me whole and healed me, I am going to tell every single body I possibly can. By the way, folks, that's called being a witness to someone else. You saw the Lord do something incredible in your life, and you want to tell others about it, and you're the person as a witness. Remember, a witness can only testify to what he or she has seen or heard or been a part of. These men were part of a great miracle. Boy, could you imagine trying to keep that quiet? And I'm sure that there would be other people who would sit back and say, you know, you call them by name and say, look, man, I thought you were blind. You can see now? Oh, yeah. Well, what happened? Well, I saw this guy named Jesus, and he healed me, just touched my eyes, and he made me whole, and now I can see again. So these men are telling everybody about what Jesus has done for them. Now, let's take a moment as we ponder these particular scriptures to think about what the theological significance of it is, okay? Now, this passage reflects the theme of faith, mercy, and divine authority. Now, you've heard those words before. We have been going through these miracles. There's another one I could add in there as well that seems to be repeated throughout all the miracles. Compassion. Jesus had compassion upon these men. But the three I want to drive home in this passage today is simply faith that it took, for them to believe that Jesus could heal them. Mercy. In other words, the Lord was able. Mercy means not receiving what you deserve. So God had mercy on them. And then not only that, but Jesus had divine authority over evil, over health, over the body, over everything. You see, the blind men's use of the title Son of David highlights their recognition of Jesus as the chosen Messiah. You see, the healing emphasized that faith is essential in experiencing God's power and God's mercy. Okay? So Jesus' ministry repeatedly reveals God's kingdom breaking into the world, and that being a foretaste of the restoration and healing that is yet to come with his ultimate sacrifice and resurrection. Now, that was at that particular time. Remember, Jesus was still with them. You and I are post-resurrection. Yeah, at this particular time, they were still waiting for his death, burial, and resurrection to complete the salvation experience. You and I live in the time that's called the age of grace, that unmerited favor, when we already know what he's done. He has accomplished it. He has completed it, and all we have to do is trust him. Okay? So now, the account that we've read today challenges us to examine the depth of our faith. If I were to ask you today on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, the depth scale of 1 to 10, where would you classify your faith? You know, do we, like the blind men, believe in Jesus' ability to transform our lives, to make us different in so many ways, not only physically, but spiritually as well? Are we persistent in our petitions and in approaching him? You know what? I think that sometimes people give up too much. You know, persistence goes a long, long way. You know, you've heard that term, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Well, that's the reason why, because it's awful persistent. When that wheel moves and it squeaks and it squeaks and it squeaks, you get tired of hearing it squeak, and then you go and you oil it or you grease it, okay? Are we being persistent in our petitions that we are carrying to the Father? Are we approaching him with humble hearts, believing that he is able to do what he says that he can do? You know, we're reminded that faith, even as small as a mustard seed, can lead to divine intervention from our Father, okay? See, our testimonies of Jesus' work in our lives should be shared to inspire and to encourage others. Man, when the Lord does something great in your life, you know, go out and tell it from the mountain. Be sure to let people know, because that is something God's given you as an opportunity to be able to speak on his behalf. I love that. You know, I've said so many times and preached it. I used to give Thomas a really hard time. We even call Thomas Doubting Thomas, and most of you all probably know that story. But, you know, after re-evaluating Thomas here back a few years ago, I kept thinking, you know what, maybe I need to cut Thomas a little bit of a break. Because, you know, when I looked at it, you know, everybody else had gone and told Thomas that Jesus had resurrected. You know, he's alive. He's alive just like he said he was. He's not in the tomb. He's resurrected. And Thomas said this. He said, I will not believe until I can see the nail prints in his hands. Yeah, I'm not going to believe until I can see him for myself. You know, how does that play into today? I think there are too many people in our society today that are living somebody else's testimony. You're still talking about the great things God did for your mama or your daddy or your brother or your sister. What are the great things God has done for you? You know, I love how Jesus approached Thomas when he said to him, when he saw him for the first time after the resurrection, he said, Thomas, come here, man. Go ahead, touch the nail-scarred hands. Go ahead and check out the place in my side where they jammed that spear into my side. And you know, it was so interesting that you never ever read about Thomas ever doubting again. In fact, Thomas died a martyr for the cause of Christ. So when we sit there and think about that, where's our faith? You know, are we going to see God do great things in our lives and be able to go tell it from the mountain? Not what God's done in everybody else's life. What's he done in your life that you can go out and that you can share and that you can testify to as far as Jesus' work in your life and being able to encourage others? Okay, so the healing of these two blind men serves as a very, very powerful reminder of the transformative power of faith and the boundless mercy of Jesus. See, it calls us to persist in our pursuit of Him, believing wholeheartedly in His power to heal and to restore. Okay? So as we go forward through this week and through the rest of our lives, with faith as our foundation, we can share the love and the mercy that you and I have received through Christ Jesus. Listen, will we be able to do that? What's God doing in your life? How's your faith? You know, on your scale of 1 to 10, where did you fall? Maybe you need to go to Him today and say, Lord, you know what? I believe, forgive mine unbelief. That's what one of His disciples said to Him at one point. He said, Lord, I believe, but I struggle with it. And I know we do. I know each and every one of us do that at times along the way as well. But maybe your faith needs stretched a little bit. Trust Jesus in doing that. And then, listen, when He does some of those great, incredible, transformative, life-changing things in your life, go shout it from the rooftop. Go tell it on the mountain, as they say, and let everybody know what the Lord has done. Not what you've done, but what the Lord has done in your life. How He's changed you. How He's made you whole. Could you do that? Listen, I'm going to let us know what our readings for this week are. Let me close in a word of prayer, then I'll share with you what your biblical readings for this week will be, and we look forward to what God's going to do for us. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, we're so thankful that that you teach us. And Lord, as we've looked at today's passage from the two blind men, we ask that as we have evaluated our faith, that you will help us to increase in our faith. And Lord, help us to always seek you with a sincere heart. You know, Lord, help us to be persistent as we come to you. May we recognize your presence in our lives. And Lord, may we boldly share the testimonies of your mercies that you have bestowed upon us with those that we come in contact with. And Lord, we will be so careful to give you all the praise and the glory as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, listen, thank you for taking the time to join us. I want to share with you what your Bible reading for this week will be. This week, I want you to spend some time in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. And next week, we're going to look at our 17th sermon in the series of the miracles of the Messiah. And we're going to be looking at the healing of the mute man. And the passages for that specifically are Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 32 and 33. So spend a little bit of time in those particular passages this week so you'll know where we are when we come back together next week. And as always, we invite you, if you don't have a church home, please come visit with us at Central Baptist Church. We're located at Oak Ridge, North Carolina, at 1715 Highway 68 North. Any information you need, you can get from our website, which is listed on your screen right here. And if you ever have any questions, feel free to contact us by email or by telephone call. Our service times are at 10:45 each Sunday morning. And we do have other discipleship opportunities. We have Sunday school classes. We've got some discipleship groups, small groups. We do have Awana for the children that runs during the school year. And we would certainly love to see you as we come together as the body of Christ to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth at Central Baptist Church. Listen, I'm praying that God's going to give you a great week. He's going to show you some great things, and that He's going to allow you to share what He's done in your life with those that He brings you in contact with. God bless you. Have a great week.